Scientists are finding out what killed the dinosaurs, and it's a real flood of information.
Yay and Candace want everyone to know that white lives matter, and that is racist.
Gavin Newsom put up abortion billboards around the country, and John MacArthur has some thoughts.
Elon Musk is buying Twitter at the agreed-upon price of $44 billion. But with all the inflation lately, it's really like 5 cents.
We made fun of progressive Christians, and the comments are worth it.
All this and more on
The B-Weekly.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Babylon Bee podcast. I'm hanging out with my buddies, Brandon and Emma.
Hi, I'm Brandon.
Emma? Hello.
How you doing, Brandon? What's going on?
You know, it's been a week. It's been a pretty busy week here at the Bee, but it's been a fun week. We got a lot done, a lot of fun sketches upcoming. Be on the lookout.
Lots of great video sketches we shot this week. So, although I managed to avoid all the shoots.
You were not there for any of them.
So, I was really busy. I had a board game to play during the zombie one.
You're always there in spirit and in your writing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I just kind of like, but it's we have a great team, so I just write something and I go, here, you know, you guys go do something with that.
That's why I'm here.
That's what you do, man. So that's a lot of fun. So this week we're going to talk about movies that need a remake. Some of our sketches are going viral now and we will talk about them.
Yeah, that's
like
great.
We just kind of did, but we'll keep talking about them. And we've got some hate mail. We did this Christianity Light sketch, which I'm sure we'll play a little bit later on. And the hate mail was fantastic.
It was. A lot of people don't like being called out for not, you know, adhering to Christian beliefs.
Yeah, the Bible, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the Bible, the whole Bible thing. Our managing editor, Joel Berry, assistant to the regional editor, had a conversation on Twitter with Phil Vischer, the creator of VeggieTales.
Oh, how'd that go? Was it pleasant? Was it a nice back and forth?
Phil Vischer has a strange position on abortion. And it seems to me like he doesn't like abortion, or maybe he wants to say that it's bad, but he also is like scared of saying that. And a lot of it has to do with his opinions on race. Like he feels like if the majority of black Christians in America are pro-choice, then to condemn abortion wholesale is to condemn the black church. Mm. So it's really rooted in his kind of CRT. You know, but I don't understand, like it's different segments of the population have different sins at different times, you know, that segment of society happens to fall victim to. The white church has sin that's and I even hate saying the white church and the black church, you know.
Mm.
So it's the church.
Yeah. Why would you segregate it like that, Kyle?
That's Phil Vischer. He's the one.
Yeah, he's slowly ruining my childhood because I love VeggieTales.
He's quickly ruining my childhood.
Were you guys VeggieTales aficionado?
Yes.
Yeah, I was too. Were you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I felt bad like about a month ago when we were on the podcast. We were talking about Mary Rice Hopkins, and you made a comment. You said, "Oh, she's still a Christian." I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." Unlike Phil Vischer. And I felt really bad about that.
And now you don't feel so
now
bad.
I don't anymore.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as hateful bigot Brandon, but I do think it's very troubling when people say stuff like that. And I do, I mean, but I can still like disagree with Phil Vischer and enjoy original VeggieTales because I think that was classic. There was just something about the offbeat humor that Christian stuff was really lacking because you had Donut Man that was like, everything was very pointed, and VeggieTales had jokes just for the sake of
it. It was highly entertaining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Though Phil Vischer also did have a thought on Twitter. He was saying, when you think about it, though, Bob and Larry weren't actually vegetables. They were both fruits.
Did you say that?
He said something along those lines. I might be paraphrasing.
Was he trying to be funny or make a...
We'll see.
Yeah, you can't call a group of people fruits anymore. Very
Phil
progressive.
Vischer. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to sing when I lose my hairbrush now?
It's true.
There's plenty of lost hairbrush inspired songs that you can still.
That song gets sung often in our house every morning because the kids lose their hairbrush. Yeah. And I'm just singing it, walk around the house. So.
And Phil Vischer's progressivism will never take that away from us.
I actually have to pay him royalties every time I sing it and walking around the house, which is sad.
Don't make fun of me. I do that.
You'd pay royalties?
No, but I sing that song.
No, I do. I'm literally saying I do. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Speaking of paying royalties, shop.babylonbee.com has shirts, books, mugs, tumblers, hats, and stickers. It is great. It's so great that I forgot to put on the shirt, and then someone came in Can I say his name? Someone came in and said, you should put on that fax shirt. And I said, "Nah." But it's really good. It is good. I just yeah. I was just actually, too lazy to change.
I saw it for the first time yesterday. They turned out really well.
It did turn out great. So we've got a Thomas Sowell fax shirt. We have a Truth Is Not Hate Speech shirt, which I was wearing yesterday. I love that shirt. And I'm a good person who supports the current thing shirt. You know, that's cool. And we also have a Babylon Bee book bundle where you can get the Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness and the Babylon Bee Guide to Democracy for one moderate price.
I love that alliteration. Babylon Bee book bundle.
The Babylon?
Only way to make it better is if you buy the Babylon Bee book bundle.
And put it in a bindle.
You could do that too.
And then it's a Babylon Bee, it's a bought Babylon Bee book bundle bindle.
Correct. Yeah. Do it. Do it now.
Right and we've
now.
Also got Thomas Ho.
Take a picture of you with your books in the bindle, and we'll send you a Sizzler gift. No, we won't. We actually won't. Sorry, I can't make those promises.
We have a Clarence Thomas Hope t-shirt and Conservative Tears tumbler, which Brandon is sipping out of right now. So if you want to support the Babylon Bee podcast, do that. Another way you can support the Babylon Bee podcast is by subscribing to the Babylon Bee podcast YouTube channel, youtube.com/thebabylonbeepodcast. Let's see what's in the news this week. Treasure in heaven is great, but it's not going to buy you a tank of gas. So let's take a moment to briefly review the current state of our economy and the global effect the war between Russia and Ukraine has had. We're in for a tough year here, and Biden's printing and spending could be catastrophic for the US dollar and the market. That's why a growing number of financial analysts are recommending you diversify with gold and silver now. And the only company we recommend is Allegiance Gold. Our friends at Allegiance Gold can help you protect your IRA or 401k with physical gold and silver and have it delivered securely right to your door. The team at Allegiance Gold takes the time to educate their clients on the importance of having a financial portfolio that's diversified with gold and silver. Allegiance Gold has been one of the top precious metals firms in the nation for their commitment to protecting your hard-earned savings. They have an A+ from the Better Business Bureau, a 5-star rating with TrustLink, and they're AAA rated with the Business Consumer Alliance. If you act now by calling them and you mention Babylon Bee, we'll even give you $500 of free silver on a qualified purchase. Call 844-790-9191 to get this exclusive offer. Or you can visit allegiancegold.com/bee. That's B-E-E. Call 844-790-9191. That's 844-790-9191. Or visit allegiancegold.com/bee.
What's in the news this week?
So Kanye West and Candace Owens wore a White Lives Matter shirt and featured an image of Pope John Paul II. Why is the Pope?
I listened to Candace talk about this too, and she didn't get to the Pope part when I stopped listening. But I don't get the Pope part. And
does anyone like? Are there theories understand. Circulating?
Why is there the Pope? Pope, and it's not even the current Pope, right? Mm. Is that the current Pope?
Perhaps we can ask Kanye when he's on the podcast. Next.
Is that the current pope?
Like, I always feel like Francis should be the name of the
Francis
pope.
Francis is the current pope, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a Protestant. We don't care about your faith.
Why would any pope be on there?
He's just a pastor of a church in Rome. He has nothing to do with me.
We've just offended a large portion of our audience.
It can write in. That's just, we need to generate more hate mail. So
Maybe
it's one of those things where you buy a shirt and you think it just has a cool thing on the front, and then you get it, and it has like a giant thing on the back.
Maybe like
they were spicy.
Maybe they just thought of this really last minute, and they didn't have any like blank shirts to screen print onto. And they're like, "Hey, we got these Pope shirts. We just add the text to that."
Oh man, the Anti-Defamation League categorizes the phrase as a hate slogan used by white supremacists, including the KKK.
How crazy is this? How crazy is that? That's considered a hate slogan.
It is pretty crazy.
Versus the ideology that has destroyed hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of property, that has killed people, that has burned down neighborhoods.
It's Blue Lives Matter.
Talking about MAGA.
Exactly. I'm talking about January 6th.
Oh, I did it.
Ow, your ring hurt me.
Sorry.
Well, that's cool. So gas prices hit a record high of $6.46 in Los Angeles, soaring past its June high. Oh, and we have a personalized picture. This is a picture near Dan's house. So you could probably triangulate this and figure out where Dan lives now. And one of the prices, the most expensive one, credit or without car wash or something, is $7.09. I don't think I've seen it cross seven yet. This is the first I've seen it cross
seven. Do you think they would like intentionally skip over between 665 straight to 667 just to avoid the imagery?
I have not seen a 666. Yeah. I have seen 665 and 9/10. And I took a picture of it and I said, not today, Satan. And I think they do. I do think they skip 666. If like, you see a 666
like,
gas,
it's like 13, yeah. Floor 13 on a hotel.
Yeah, they don't do
that. They're okay with it being that high, but they're not okay with that number.
Well, the other thing is I think they're usually odd numbers. Aren't they always? They always end in like 9 or 5 or 1.
Yeah, I never noticed that.
So.
Well, I know that it's below $3 in Florida. So it's not an everywhere problem. It's just California.
But it does go up at a similar, you know, where it's just that we have that additional dollar tax or whatever taxes, added on.
But I don't think it's the taxes. I've been reliably informed by Gavin Newsom that it's because of corporate greed from the oil
corporate
companies.
Greed. Yeah,
and nothing else.
Right.
Do you guys remember when Biden was like, this is my message to gas stations. Take down your prices.
Stop it.
Do it now.
Stop it.
Like, what is this?
This is
what
my is message.
This, what is this clown
Don't
world?
Do man? It. Just stop it. Just stop. Stop it now.
Stop. Stop.
Well, I posted, I went to a gas station. I posted a picture and I had my friends from Hawaii and New York both tell me that our prices are higher than theirs.
Mm. I think
and
they are.
I've seen other people take pictures when they're at the gas station, which I think is kind of fun.
Yep.
Because I thought it was just me. And Dan.
Should just carry around a little poster board with an I did that and get in their picture.
I don't want to be in that. But yeah.
Yeah, well.
It's crazy. How could it be higher here than in Hawaii?
Because of Gavin Newsom. We need to drill his head for oil.
I was literally about to say that.
Didn't you pitch that as a headline recently? Yeah,
I
just stole your headline.
Zero likes.
Oh, man. It's sad. I'll go give it a like. So, and the weird thing too is that, you know, Biden was claiming credit for gas prices coming down a few months ago, and now it's just radio silence. Like, mm-hmm. and they just kind of crept back up, and the news didn't report on it. It wasn't made a big deal. It was just like, oh yeah, we're doing $7 again. That's what we're doing. So, corporate greed, really sad.
And it's the California restrictions where you have to get the oil from California, so. Just limits your supply.
Hmm.
They could just change those rules in an instant and it would solve the problem.
Yeah. It's almost like taking responsibility for your bad decisions.
Yeah. I mean, Christianity Light would teach you not to do that. So.
Stay tuned. Christianity Light.
You know what I learned for the first time?
What?
This week? Gavin Newsom considers himself a Christian.
I've never heard them.
Is it just in public or?
Well, he's related to Nancy Pelosi.
Pelosi's a Catholic, so is he a Catholic?
Catholic, yeah.
Okay. Not a Christian, a Catholic.
I stand corrected.
That's strike two. Listen to Catholic audience.
John MacArthur released a fire open letter to Gavin Newsom after Gavin put up billboards around the country promoting California as a place to go get an abortion and even used scripture to say abortion is loving your neighbor. So is this part of his like Catholicism ideology?
It's part of his Antichrist theology. But yeah, that story last week made me absolutely sick to my stomach.
Dude, when I saw that billboard, like I thought it was maybe photoshopped or like someone was like, it was one of those outrage things. Someone's true.
What kind of approval processes did that go through? And finally,
he just thought he was totally, and he ran this like in Mississippi or something. So he's trying to like slam the, and just throwing it in their faces. How disgusting.
But Johnny Mac had something to say.
Johnny Mac said, you have not only failed in your responsibility to punish evildoers, you routinely turn it on its head, rewarding evildoers and punishing the righteous.
In mid-September, you revealed to the entire nation how thoroughly rebellious against God you are when you sponsored billboards across America promoting the slaughter of children whom he creates in the womb.
My concern, Governor Newsom, is that your own soul lies in grave, eternal peril. Each one of us will give an account of himself to God.
My plea to you, sir, is that you would not let it come to that you would not go to that day of judgment apart from receiving forgiveness and righteousness through faith in Christ alone.
Why put scripture on the billboard? Why not just put a evil
billboard?
Because
he's just throwing it in your face because he's an evil person. That's why. Because that's what Satan does.
It doesn't even make any sense to you.
He was trying to convict Christians that they need to support crushing the skulls of babies, severing their spines, and chopping them up while still alive. also severing their vocal cords so they can't scream.
Well, love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor, y'all.
And it's on the ballot coming up soon, a vote. It's like Proposition 1, if to make abortion in California part of the Constitution.
Just absolutely disgusting.
And it includes, it doesn't even have any limitations to it. It's just automatic that any late-term abortion would be automatically legal and part of the Constitution.
Democratic Congress would not pass the, would not vote yes on the Born Alive Protection Act. So
was that to provide medical care for
babies that were born alive, surviving an abortion, a failed abortion? So that's where we are. On that happy note, guys, the Babylon Bee podcast. You come here for your
just. I don't get worked up about too humor. Much, but when I saw that scripture, it's man, and I really appreciated that MacArthur does seem to have a care for Newsom's soul. You know, he's like, you need to repent. Right. I thought that was pretty cool. So speaking of the wrath of God on horrible people and countries, we now believe that a global tsunami is what killed the dinosaurs, according to secular scientists. An asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs also triggered a global tsunami, according to CNN, which is cool.
So next up, we're going to find out that dinosaurs didn't exist either.
No, they did. Just Satan planted the bones.
That's not what Ken Ham said.
What?
He had a different word for dinosaur.
Like dinosaur kind.
Dinosaur kind.
No.
Did he call them dragons?
Was it animal kind or
reptile kind or something like
that? Well, he said the word dinosaur was invented in mid-1900s.
Well, yeah, but that's just an etymological point.
Yeah, that's the word. So also, Ken Ham 1, Bill Nye 0.
That's right. And also, an ancient city's destruction by an exploding space rock may have inspired the biblical story of Sodom and Gomorrah, according to, this looks like Huffington Post or something. So they found out that around the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, a whole city exploded in the area. And they're saying, the biblical story was inspired by this.
Inspired by it. Like, like so many stories were inspired by had flood mythology. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Wiped out with a blast 1,000 times more powerful than an atomic bomb. That's something. What kind of power in the universe could be more powerful than an atomic bomb?
Elon Musk. His lawyer announced that he is going through with the $44 billion purchase of Twitter.
Yay.
Ooh, will Babylon Bee be on Twitter this time next week? Stay tuned and find out.
We're about to find out. What should our first tweet back be?
We've had a few ideas.
Oh. Should I say it here?
Sure.
Well, I wanted to do Doctor of the Year is Jill Biden.
To get I like the idea of referencing the Rachel Levine tweet somehow. I also like just, hey, what's going on, guys? I also
what's new?
Adam was pitching the idea of like just totally slamming Elon Musk as our first tweet and being like, just to see if he's really going to support free speech.
Yeah, to test free speech.
That feels like something The Onion's going to do, though. So we have a banger of the week.
Banger of the week.
Not to be outdone by Lizzo, Beyonce performs concert wearing George Washington's teeth.
That's a lovely picture.
Terrifying.
I had to Photoshop her cleavage out.
Terrifying. Good.
I messaged Joel because it had been up all day, and I looked at it and was like, you can't, there's... So I prevented the young men from lusting.
She looks like the Hessian from Sleepy Hollow, starring Johnny Depp and Christopher Walken as the Hessian.
Chandler did a good job as her voice. If you go over to the Bee Radio podcast, there's a good impersonation of Beyonce's teeth.
I believe black people should be played by black voice actors.
How do you know that Chandler's not black?
Because I know her. Like she's white.
And when you know someone, you know their race.
You do know their race.
However, even though that was the banger of the week, this one should have been the banger of the week. Phil Vischer pens fun new VeggieTales episode, Laura Carrot Gets an Abortion.
I know why that didn't do well.
Yeah, it's
a lesson in nuance.
I would have, I would feel weird about liking it.
Yeah, nobody would share
it. Yay, a carrot gets an abortion.
Because baby carrot.
And it's vegetarian.
Because the joke is baby carrot, you know, like...
And so on that subject, our very own Joel Berry took to Twitter to eviscerate Phil.
Yeah.
Get it?
So Someone asked, yeah, I got it. So someone asked Phil Vischer, do you support legal abortion in instances of pregnancy resulting from rape? And he says, I don't have a specific position. Can I do a Bob the Tomato voice? I can't do a Bob the Tomato. I don't have a specific position, but probably if it's early in the pregnancy.
That sounds like a specific
position. That's a pretty, like, yeah. And Joel shared it and said, remember, kids, God made you special and he loves you very much, unless you're a product of rape. This is just so dark, man.
Yeah.
And then James White, not the football player, the apologist, weighed in. He's quoting some early church fathers that say things like, you shall not abort a child or commit infanticide. And that's in response to Twitter's so annoying because he's like, that's the nested mm-hmm. count. Yeah. But he's quoting Phil, who said that, well, you know, Christians throughout the years have disagreed on this.
And this did a, there was a whole big back and forth with Phil Vischer and a ton of other people. And Phil Vischer said, right, but a majority of Christians approve of some exceptions to an abortion ban, to which Joel replied, congrats, Phil, you're in the majority.
Joel's just going to town. And Phil was getting pretty hardly like ratioed on the, pretty severely ratioed on these tweets. So, you know, well, it's nice that Joel's just ethering the creator of VeggieTales.
I wish they would do a debate.
Oh, that wasn't the bomb of the week? That really was the banger? Then should have been the banger?
What? It should have been the banger.
Okay. Yeah. According to
they should have done a...
Gotcha.
I agree with
Phil Vischer never has people on the podcast that he disagrees with. Mm. So it's just a little mini echo chamber.
Yeah.
Like us?
Yeah. We should debate him.
Yeah. Get Phil Vischer out and debate him.
Oh, he, has he been on before?
No, we had the good one, the Larry, the guy.
The Mike, good one.
Mike Naraki came on.
Oh, okay.
Well, here's our bomb of the week.
Bomb of the week.
Zelensky asks Ben Stiller if he can put him down as a reference on his NATO application.
Now it's time for Sizzler Facts.
No commentary on that one.
I don't really care. I just don't care.
20 weeks ago, we debuted a new feature to the podcast called Sizzler Facts, and it was met with overwhelming praise. This week's Sizzler Fact, Trevor Noah once referred to COVID plexiglass as the sneeze guards from Sizzler. Now, we have some questions about this. How familiar is Trevor Noah with Sizzler? Has he ever been to a Sizzler? Does he fully comprehend that indisputable fact that Sizzler offers choices? Does Trevor know where former Sizzler CEO Kerry Cramp is right now? Will Trevor be spending a lot of his free newfound free time at local Sizzler restaurants? Hmm.
It's time for Sizzler comments.
Sizzler comments.
Sent to us by Alyssa. Hey, I've got a Sizzler fact for your podcast. No, you have a comment. I was folding my laundry watching Everybody Loves Raymond as a 30-something-year-old mom and wife does on a Friday evening. And Ray makes a joke about Sizzler in regards to his wacky father, who is clearly a fan. Since last week's Sizzler fact was that one of your employees went there with his family, I thought this would be a good step up. Or this may be a step up. Season 1, Episode 6, 1425 Mark. Peace.
Now you know where to get
we can look it up. Yeah.
Sizzler in the media. We should do an upcoming Sizzler in the movies for Sizzler facts.
Yeah, we go in Sizzler.
We go in Sizzler.
Okay.
Well, this has been Sizzler comments.
I like that you said, I've got a Sizzler fact, and you were like, no, this is a comment. We do not grant you the rank of Sizzler fact.
You don't get to declare Sizzler fact.
It must be there's earned. There's a process.
Yeah, you can't promote your comment as a
one
fact.
One does not simply walk into Sizzler facts.
Well, this has been Sizzler comments. Dwell is a Bible app we've fallen in love with. Their mission is inspired by the psalmist, who encourages us in Psalm 119 to hide the word of God in our hearts. Dwell has built the most beautiful listening and reading experience for the scriptures. Everyone says so. They have over a dozen new recordings of the Bible. They've handpicked voices that will engage and inspire you. And they have the best versions of the Bible, too. In addition to a world-class listening experience and an exclusive read-along mode, Dwell is now the best way to read the Bible on your phone. In fact, studies have shown that recall is significantly increased when listening and reading are combined. In short, a multi-sensory approach leads to quicker and deeper learning. Go to dwellapp.io/BabylonBee to get 10% off a yearly subscription or 30% off Dwell for life.
Dwell for life.
And now we're going to do a perennial classic, a list segment. We are going to list our top movies that need a remake. Now, I find this an interesting topic, and I hope a few of you do too. Because to me, whenever I see lists about movies that need a remake, it's movies that people really liked. And I say, yes, so why do you want them to be remade?
Lion King wasn't good enough, so they right. had to make it with
one of the CG greatest
lions.
Animated movies of all time.
Aladdin was a terrible movie, therefore, let's make it with Will Smith.
Right. So if you look up, go Google lists of movies that need to be remade, and they're all movies that absolutely should never be touched. Princess Bride, I mean, don't remake it. Like, don't remake that movie. But
The Neverending Story.
That's on my list.
Yeah, Neverending Story. Don't touch it. Just don't mess with it.
Why wouldn't you touch that movie?
You can make your case in a second. You can make your case in a second, Emma. But I feel that the real movies that need to be remade are the ones that had a ton of potential, right. great concept, or maybe a great property, mm-hmm. and then boom. And the problem is when you have a movie that does terribly or isn't executed well, Hollywood won't touch it for 20 years, mm-hmm. and you have to wait. You know, some time has to go by. So I've got a few good ones. I picked like 10. Dan told me to only pick 3, so I picked 10. Oh. But I'll do 3 and then some honorable mentions.
Okay. Yeah, I did 3.
Yeah.
I have a few extras, though. So. Yeah. How many did you do, Emma?
I have 3 because one of them is now eliminated based on your whole spiel.
No, you can do.
I'm still gonna say the other.
No, you
one.
Do it. He was just mocking you. So Emma's gonna go first and give us her movie that needs to be remade.
Okay, I think The Neverending Story could be remade because even though people enjoyed it as a kid, it's not something that you can watch now. Like you can't get through it now because of the weird dragon dog and. The special effects that are just really cheesy. And so I think if it was made now, it would just be, you could continuously watch it in the future. And if it was made, I don't know, better.
Do you think, though, that some of the low special effects are, like, part of the charm of some of those
I do.
Classics?
Maybe for, like, The Labyrinth, I think it works still.
But not,
and I
not
could still watch
story.
It now, but I can't watch the Neverending Story now.
I think in the age of... and. Don't get me wrong. I actually do have a great appreciation for CG. I know a lot of people just slam anytime they see CG, they hate it.
If it's done well, I'm
I actually appreciate it. But there's something about practical effects. There's something about puppets. Even though puppets don't look like real creatures, one can argue Maz Kanata looks more like a real creature than a puppet. But there's something organic about that puppet. So
That's like the weird creatures in Labyrinth or Fraggle Rock. But I think that The Neverending Story could be made better mm-hmm. today. I still think you should use as much practical effects and environment than CGI.
Yeah.
But now that we could make a dragon that doesn't have a dog head, like, let's do it.
So in your remake, who would sing the theme song?
I don't know.
Would it be Ed Sheeran?
Or no one.
Trevor Noah?
Beyonce wearing George Washington's teeth.
Yeah, no big people like that, because...
No big yeah. people, no Lizzo.
No Beyonce that's going to sing it, no Lizzo.
Playing James Lizzo Madison's
playing
flute.
James Madison's flute, playing the Neverending Story.
Neverending Story.
Now, as you were talking, I remembered one other introductory comment I wanted to make, and that is, I don't think Hollywood would actually do a good job at remaking any of these movies today, because I feel like there was a tipping point like 4 or 5 years ago where all remakes just became like, okay, they're gonna race swap, they're gonna gender swap, they're gonna inject representation.
I think generally Hollywood as a single conglomerate entity is less interested in storytelling than they are in money making and pandering and ideology.
Right. But that being said, there are some exceptions. If the right director, the right studio got it, like Dune is something that Dune is something 5 or 6 years ago would have said absolutely needs to be rebooted. It was rebooted and it was done great. It was awesome. So
yes, and that was much better than the David Lynch version.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
Despite the fact that it had a superior score by Toto.
So do you want to go?
My number one is The Hobbit trilogy.
Mm.
And this to me was one of the biggest cinematic disappointments because the potential of a 2 to 3 hour film telling the story of The Hobbit, and I'll grant maybe a two-part. I don't even like doing a two-part. But if you want to do a long movie, a 3.5 hour movie, the story of Bilbo Baggins, self-contained, you can watch it with your kids in that universe with the same feel as Peter Jackson's universe, I would love that. And I was so excited when it was announced.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see any of them in the theaters because it just immediately was obvious to
me. I've never seen the third movie. I never finished it.
Not worth watching. Not worth watching.
What ruined it for you? Because I think part of it, part of the charm of the original is that it's more practical than it is CGI. And they really got into 3D movies.
Well,
and they thought that was going to be big.
One of the biggest things about it was, well, I mean, there was the weird... The whole weird 48 frames thing that I don't know why he decided to do that.
But I also saw that in Sam's Club. It was playing on one of the big TVs, and I was like, this looks like a soap opera. Like, why? Why are they doing this?
But also, I kind of blame the studio for this, and I think Peter Jackson himself was moderately disenfranchised by this decision. I could be wrong. But the fact that they were like, this is literally a money printer, and so they decided to make 6 pages an entire movie, a 3-hour movie, just... expounding upon it far more than it needed to. I don't know if I said this on podcast before, but a few years ago I was doing a reread of The Hobbit, and I was like, oh, it might be fun to play the soundtrack while reading it. I was literally reading the story faster than the soundtrack. Like, and I was having to skip forward in the soundtrack to be at the same part I was in the book. And I literally read the book faster than the soundtrack.
It's a 250 to 300 page little kid's book you can sit down and read in one sitting.
Yep.
And it was three movies. It was 10 hours long.
Yep.
No. I agree with the CGI comment. The physics, it feels like a cartoon world. When by the time they get to the goblin hole and they're like falling and surfing down falling bridges, and you're like, oh, okay, so these people can't die. So why do I care?
Mm-hmm. It would have redeemed itself in the barrel river sequence if someone had shouted out, do a barrel roll.
That would have kicked it up one star, yes.
All right. How many are we doing?
That was my first, and she's doing well. I think we're trying to list three, and then I'll rattle off some on a roll.
Then I will start with a completely obscure pick that I don't think any of you will get, and that is The Pirates of Penzance. It's a Gilbert and Sullivan classic musical that is witty. It's brilliant, inspired a lot of Animaniac songs, fantastic music, and it's absolutely hilarious. The 1983 version with Kevin Kline, Angela Lansbury, and Rex Smith is the best version to date, and it is terrible. I mean, it's very good, but it's also like very poorly done, and they were playing with this release model where they released it on video at the same time as theaters. 1983, I don't know what they were thinking back then, but it bombed. It looks like a glorified high school stage production visually, but...
And I feel like musicals are making a comeback in the theaters. You feel like that would be something that they would do.
But here's another note for Hollywood. Stop casting non-singers in musicals. Just stop it.
I like Hugh Jackman and Zac Efron.
I thought, well, Hugh Jackman was supposed to be a singer. Like, didn't he start off as a Broadway? Singer,
but that doesn't mean that you can sing all things in excellence.
I didn't like him in Les Mis.
He was quite bad.
I don't know why I was so disappointed, but...
Because he was bad.
But I thought, well, before you saying that, I thought everyone seemed to love him in that movie.
Oh, well, I think people are entranced by his face and general charm and persona. He is a charming fella.
I was kind of hoping that your list would all be Pride and Prejudice. Number one movie needs to be rebooted. Pride and Prejudice.
My wife knew Hugh Jackman personally and said he was a very, very amiable man.
Oh, good. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. And he's going to be... in Wolverine, another Wolverine movie or something.
Is he?
There's a rumor.
I thought
of
Logan
that.
Was like the.
I thought so, but there was a rumor about it.
Okay. What is your number two, Emma?
Number two is A Wrinkle in Time. It was done in 2018, surprisingly, and I didn't even know about it. But
the book
bombed.
Is so good.
Yeah, I remember liking the book a lot as a kid, and when I saw the trailer, it just didn't really match any of the characters that I had envisioned.
You didn't picture Oprah Winfrey and
No, I pictured someone weird and quirky, and I don't think...
Wasn't Oprah in it? Am I making that up?
Oprah's was definitely in it, and it took $100 million to make it, and it only made $30 million.
Total
but bomb. But I bet you that half that, like $50 million, went to Oprah being in it.
Yeah.
That's such a disaster. And it's so sad. And it has such strong Christian themes in the original book that they just ripped out.
So I've got thoughts on that.
Oh, go ahead.
So I do love Wrinkle in Time. It's always going to be one of my top 30 books, stories. Very fond memories of it in my childhood. I did read it again a few years ago. And yeah, I used to think Madeleine L'Engle had stalwart Christian principles written into her books. she's kind of a universalist.
She is, but I don't know at the time if she was.
Wrinkle in Time was universalist.
You think so?
Wrinkle in Time mentions, so when they're talking about kind of the pathways to heaven, their enlightenment, essentially, she mentions
I do remember that, yeah.
Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad. Not maybe not Muhammad, Gandhi, I think.
I guess it's relative, because if I'm reading that as Christian fiction, then I'm like, oh, this is heresy. Right. If I'm reading it as a secular book and I'm like, oh, there's kind of a bit of a Christian theme.
It's a brilliant story, a great start to a series that quickly went downhill.
I felt like there was some predestination themes.
Once we got to the Noah book with the little elephants, I was not
into it.
Not into it.
Okay. All right. My number two is John Carter. This was a Disney movie that came out in like 2008-ish, and it was an adaptation of the old books by Edgar Rice Burroughs, which were just fantastic sci-fi books. It's essentially Superman on Mars, and they're wonderful. And I think the first five books are totally worth reading. And the title of the sci-fi books, the pulp fiction books, is A Princess of Mars. And which is the first book is called The Princess of Mars, and eventually it became called the John Carter of Mars series or the Princess of Mars series. And that's a great evocative title, A Princess of Mars. And you're like, oh, what does that mean? They changed the name of the movie to John Carter of Mars because they felt nobody wanted to go see a movie with princess in the title.
Why would you?
And then they had test audiences or whatever, and they said, oh, Mars, sci-fi isn't in right now. Let's rename it John Carter. And if you hear the name John Carter and you don't know what John Carter of Mars is, you're going to go, I don't want to go see a movie about a random guy named John.
Yeah.
The movie itself was okay.
Is it Channing Tatum?
I don't even remember. The guy like disappeared from Hollywood, I think.
Oh, okay. Someone else.
Yeah, it was someone else. But anyway, the movie was okay. They could have done better. And it was kind of that weird, awkward era where they were just getting into realistic CGI.
I'm thinking of Jupiter, whatever.
Maybe 2005. Sorry. No, you're thinking Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, that was Channing Tatum.
That one was okay. Anyway. John Carter, I would love to see a good adaptation of the pulp series. So, no thoughts from
Emma. Did you skip Wrinkle in Time?
No, it's on my list, but it's later.
Okay.
I'm just going to include it in honorable mentions.
Sure.
Go ahead.
My number two is Venom.
Ah.
So Spider-Man 3 was on the horizon. Little old me, huge Spider-Man fan, and the greatest character. And the funny thing is, I was never into villains as a kid. Like, I know a lot of people now just love all the villains in various franchises. And I was always, no, you vote for you root for the good guy. Always. The good guy's always, the bad guys are bad. Good guys are good. However, Venom. I loved Venom. I always loved Venom. And so when I saw that Venom was going to make his way into Spider-Man 3, I was elated. And my disappointment my disappointment for that movie sent me into this emo spiral. I attended Spider-Man jazz 3? Clubs and just danced.
Of the original Spider-Man, Spider-Man 3?
Of the Tobey Maguire's, yes.
Okay.
And then the Venom movie was announced.
There's only one Spider-Man 3.
And then the Venom movie was announced. Oh. And at this point, I had zero hope. I had no hope.
There's only one movie called
and
Spider-Man 3.
And I did not... Yeah, I watched it. I watched it entirely dispassionately. And then they teased, "Let there be carnage," and I was like, "No, please, no! Let it stop. Let Sony not ruin Carnage as well." Because
and did they?
I did not watch it, no. But I'm planning on it. But like again, like my childhood, I didn't like villains, but Venom and Carnage
were like the two that were like book
the best
Absolutely.
Villains. And so, yeah. Venom and Carnage.
I've never seen it. They came out with the second one, right? Was it Venom 2? Is that the
That's
Carnage?
What I'm saying.
Is
That's
that
what the I'm Carnage saying. Let there
one?
Be Carnage, yeah.
Okay, got it.
I liked Venom a lot more than Spider-Man 3.
Well, Spider-Man 3 is a disaster. So.
And unfortunately, they kind of hinted that Venom is canonical with in the MCU, the Venom movie, the Tom Hardy movie. Sad.
Mm-hmm. All right, Emma, what's your number three?
Are we at number two?
I think we're at number three.
Okay, well, I'm going to say The Hunger Games, and then I have some honorable... mentions.
Yeah, we'll rattle off honorable mentions after.
Yeah, so. I love the
I love the movies, so.
I especially don't like the last one.
Okay.
So I don't like it when they ruin a series for no reason. Like Harry Potter Part 2.
I don't like when they split the final movie. I don't like when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they split a movie or a book into
three
movies.
Three giant parts.
Yes. So I thought that it could be filmed kind of differently. It was more, it was like very soft and easy to watch. I think it should have been more extreme, or you should look at where they're living in the beginning and feel something just by what they're, how they're living. You know, you see Jennifer Lawrence and you're like, well, she's not starving and she's not suffering in this like village. So I didn't think they really sold that very well, that these sections weren't as bad as they really are. Because in the book, it's like North Korea.
Yeah.
But in the movie, it's not even that bad. It's like downtown L.A.
Weren't they still like shooting people?
I don't know. It just didn't seem that bad. And I'm always against if they don't get like dirt on the face of the star. If she can look that clean the whole movie, I'm always just kind of like, oh, this is not good.
It's probably in her contract. Don't want to get
probably the face dirty. And I didn't like PETA, the guy who played PETA.
I didn't feel like either of the love interests was great in the films, but I thought Jennifer Lawrence did a great job.
PETA's jaw distracted me.
Yeah,
he's so much shorter than
distracted
her.
Me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
I thought I also didn't like I don't like shaky cam.
Oh yeah, there was a lot, you know, of shaky.
There's
cam
a lot there. Of that.
We never do that.
Well, I think we do it here better than we did it in that they did.
There's
it
been
in
a
that
sketch
movie.
Or two of ours that was a little.
Yeah, it. I think that I first watched that movie and it made me motion sick.
Yeah, I didn't feel about it. Have you ever seen The Bourne Supremacy?
No.
You got to watch The Bourne Supremacy.
I don't want to
never
throw
that. My dad
Supremacy
almost threw up
was the worst
in Cloverfield. But I love Cloverfield.
Oh, really? That's a good movie. All right, so my number three.
Oh, we're going up. I was kind of down.
I actually don't have a strong preference for ordering these.
Sounds good.
My number three, or the my final choice for our top three, is the Star Wars prequels.
Sad.
An interesting choice, I know. A controversial
hear that, Travis?
Perhaps.
You hear that, Travis?
And I say this because, to me, this is the perfect movie for this kind of list. It is a movie that has excellent bones. There's a good story somewhere in there. And they just need to redo it. Well, obviously, Disney won't do a good job at it. I'm just saying, if there was some hypothetical world where there was a good filmmaker that was going to do the Star Wars prequels, keep George Lucas 1,000 feet away from the set at all times. Lock him in a room, whatever.
Lock Kathleen Kennedy in a room.
Let here's what you need to do. You need to let George Lucas come and do a whiteboard and say, here's the general story. And say, thank you so much, Mr. Lucas. We will be seeing you. That's all we need, you know, and they'll send him away.
Get back in your jacket and enter the cell.
Get a good writer to write it. Get a good director to direct it. Get a good cinematographer to shoot it and keep him away from the set. And I think the prequels just tell a great story, and I would love to see him. I have my doubt. I mean, like, I have my suspicions that at some point Disney's going to do this. They'll figure out some way to reboot the prequels, and it's going to be terrible. We'll just say that up front. But if Disney didn't have the rights, if someone else had the rights to do it, I would have loved to see a good take on the prequel trilogy.
I'm just sad in general about the state of Star Wars.
Sure, I agree.
My favorite IP of all time. And there's a new show out, and I have zero interest in watching
it.
Zero interest.
And see, this is why I say prequels versus sequels, because I don't think the sequels need a reboot. Mm. I think they were executed well. I just think that it was a bad story. They didn't sit down and coordinate what this trilogy was going to be ahead of time.
Yeah, it's like almost like they didn't plan the scripts.
It's the opposite problem as the prequels to me. So anyway, what is your final selection for the top three?
Was it me? I thought I was going to Emma.
I think she already did.
No, I did mine.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, we've been going this way.
So my final selection. Oh, that's right. You're right. Yeah. Ender's Game.
I almost picked this.
Ender's Game. This is one of those books that you pick up and you cannot put down. And the movie was just an abysmal stain on cinematic history. I remember walking through at Comic-Con, they had like the Ender's Game booth, whatever, outside. And I was walking through, looking around, and I was like, none of this is remotely close to anything that could possibly be good. But, I mean, maybe I have my own personal idea of what I want it to look like, and I kind of wanted it to look like an 80s sci-fi movie. How cool would that be if we just today made a retro 80s style sci-fi? And I can't say I'm sure, but obviously written in the 80s, Orson Scott Card probably had that type of imagery in his head, and so why not do it that way?
Yeah.
And also, you know, make it again, but good.
Make it again, one good.
We should get Orson Scott Card on the podcast. I'd love to have ask him about that.
Yeah, he's Bates.
Say, hey, how about you make it again? But good.
But, you know, make it good. So, all right. Yeah, my wife saw that at midnight, you know, because she loves the book. Mm-hmm. And she came home, like, in tears about how bad it was. Mm. So, all right, we have a few honorable mentions before we move on to our next segment. What are your honorable mentions, Emma?
I would say the remake of, I really like the original Swedish version of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It's a three-part series. It's very powerful. It's based on a book about human trafficking. And then they remade it into a British version. And they made the first movie, and I thought it was good, even though it took me forever to watch it because I was against them remaking it at all. And then they completely changed cast and director for the second movie. And it was a horrible mistake. And I think they should just go back to the original cast from the first movie.
So remake
the make second the second one.
One,
completely wipe the second one off the face of the earth, and then make the third one.
I didn't think about that. I didn't think about movies that where I would say keep the first one in the canon.
I did,
but and
I
make didn't a second one, like the Matrix. You know, I could remake the second Matrix thinking. Movie or whatever.
I was just thinking the fourth Matrix because,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot. I think it's a movie worth watching, but people aren't going to watch it because it's in Swedish.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any of the movies. I read the book.
It's really hard to watch.
I don't know if
I've read
all the books, but I haven't seen any of the movies that I'm aware of.
Yeah, it's hard to watch because it's about, you know, human trafficking and all the torture that she goes through. But
I always feel weird about eating popcorn in movies like that. Yeah. Like this, I don't know.
We were watching like a Holocaust remembrance movie.
Yeah,
and
the
snacking.
Passion of the Christ and like eating popcorn.
Yeah, you can't eat. Yeah.
Speaking of theater snacks, they should ban theater snacks in movies like Quiet Place.
Yeah.
And it's not like I have a personal anecdote about
that. Or at least judge you. Like if you're like, one ticket for Passion of the Christ, please. And then you're like, can I please have a bag of popcorn? And they're like, really? Are you sure? I just need it. Yeah. We've seen that. Do you have any other?
I would probably eat popcorn during anything. I also think they could do The Maze Runner again. Because I like that book.
I think it was terrible.
I don't think I saw the movie either. I read the books.
I don't know.
It could be remade.
It was one of those, sure. They just chose like a pretty person to do it. And
pretty person. Who was it? Who was pretty?
Some guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but he's
good
not
abs.
In anything ever again. It
Tatum?
Just no,
Peter?
No. Younger guy.
Did you just assume every dystopian movie stars Channing?
Oh, PETA's in it?
No, I don't think PETA's in it.
Okay.
But yeah, I also didn't like the story that they went with the Wallace and Gromit movie.
I agree with that 100%.
But why is it a were-rabbit? That's not even spaceships or anything that.
Yeah,
and
Wallace and Gromit is best when they have some really silly small problem they're trying to solve and they go off and do it. Like, I didn't love that it was like. I don't like when they take this thing where it's a small scope and they make it this big epic, like the curse of the were-rabbit. You know, and it feels like a Halloween movie instead of a Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, why is it a Hollywood? Yeah.
I agree with
strong
that.
Strong thoughts.
So.
About Wallace and Gromit.
There's no cheese in the movie, so how could it. Yeah.
I've never seen the movie, but
oh yeah, I think I remember vaguely watching it. Yeah.
Does require cheese?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We need more of those clay stop motion movies.
I love
like Chicken Run, and yeah, those,
yeah.
I didn't love Chicken Run, but
Chicken Run's great.
I didn't love it. I thought it was okay.
It's a little anti-Semitic.
Yeah,
not really.
What?
Was it Mel Gibson in that?
I don't remember. It was voices. Maybe it was. It was just VO. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Did you have any more honorable mentions?
Well, I did have an idea of a movie that you could remake into a live action that might work, but it's not been done. I don't think there's been an animation out there that's been remade and it's been successful.
What is that?
But if they were going to do that, then I think they could do that with Princess Mononoke and make it into a live action.
Okay.
Because I think Studio Ghibli is movies that you could put into a live action that just hasn't been done before. Except for
Some
My Neighbor Totoro.
Say sacrilege, but, you know.
But it's like...
Yeah, you know.
No one succeeded at it, so don't do it until you've figured it out. But if you do, I think Princess Mononoke would be a good
movie.
Yeah,
if it's done well. Yeah, right. Any other honorable mentions?
No, that's all.
Mine are Kroll, the classic 80s sci-fi movie. I would love to see that done well. A Wrinkle in Time, which you already talked about. Star Wars Rogue One, make it with characters whose names we can actually remember. Conan the Barbarian, which... As much as the Arnold Schwarzenegger version is beloved, it does not capture the magic of the original Conan stories, which was like monster of the week, episodic. I'm going to go into a dungeon and steal some treasure and fight something, and a wizard's going to cast a curse on me, and I have to fight my way out. Do it as an episodic series. Monster of the Week. I would love a modern Conan. They already rebooted it, but it was bad. 1984. Like, we haven't had a good adaptation of 1984. I heard someone was remaking it, and I don't think it's going to be good, because what they were saying is, like, 1984 is so related to our current themes of fake news and the attack on democracy. I'm like, oh, so you're going to do this wrong. I see. Solomon Kane. It had a movie version in, like, 2008. It's a fantastic property. Same author as Conan. And I would love to see a good Solomon Kane movie. And finally, Stephen King's The Dark Tower, which had a middling kind of half-butt version done a few years back. Any honorable mentions for you?
I had one on the tip of my tongue, and I forgot what it was, but okay. I'll just go along with the list that I have. I think The Chronicles of Narnia could be refreshed.
I heard they're going to.
The latest iteration was not good, and I didn't finish it. Though the BBC miniseries is inspired cinema, with that wolf superimposed over, like, ha, 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 ha.
Man the marsh wiggle, that was fantastic. The man in the giant beaver suit.
I don't know if anyone's going to catch this, but High Tops is an old Christian musical.
I vaguely remember
that. Would be
great. This.
I would love to see that. And Newsboys Down Under the Big Top, but with a black lead played by Michael Tate.
They race swapped Peter Furler. Did I get that
and
right?
That's it. That's all I got.
All right. So Hollywood, don't touch these, but if anybody else outside of Hollywood wants to reboot these, please go ahead and do it.
Hi, friends. Are you worried about what you and your family will eat during the coming food shortages? Many people are. That's why they're stocking up on emergency food while they can. Go to preparewithbee.com, that's preparewithbee.com, and you'll save 20% on a 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest preparedness company. You see, emergency food isn't just for the paranoid. I mean, it's for them too, but you know. It's for the prudent. This 3-month food kit gives you a wide variety of delicious breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks, over 2,000 calories a day. It feeds one person for 3 solid months, but this sale ends soon. Go to preparewithbee.com, preparewithbee.com right now, and grab your 20% savings off each 3-month kit that you need. People who laugh at emergency food won't be laughing for long. They'll be banging on your bunker door. Please give me food. Give me food. You're going to be like, nope. When the day comes and you need this food, it will be worth much more than what you paid for it. Much more. Preparewithbee.com. Preparewithbee.com.
So we filmed a sketch and put it out called Californians Adjust to New Life in Texas. Now, this was the first that we're actually going to be doing in a series. I think we're going to film 5 or 6 episodes. The second one is coming out soon. It'll probably be out by the time this is.
It's out already, right now.
You can check out the second episode right now.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey.
Hi.
Hey there.
Thanks so much for inviting us. We've never been to a real backyard barbecue before.
Your LA neighbors never invited you for a cookout?
We never met our neighbors.
Oh. You need to meet the host.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Howdy.
Hi.
Welcome.
Folks, this is Clay.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm Timpani, she, her.
I'm Steve, he, him.
Well, Timpani, she, her, and Steve, he, him. It's I'm Clay.
Hey, Sam. Why don't you just meet these new neighbors that we have? They're the ones that Kevin was telling us about.
Oh, yes. Well, welcome to our humble little hacienda. Hey, mi casa es su casa.
Oh, I know this one.
Good, go.
Evato, go Doyers. The Latinx love me. My gardener, Javier, nicknamed me Carinito. It means he cares. Anyway, we brought a salad.
Oh.
It's a quinoa kale salad with a balsamic reduction.
Jennifer Aniston ate this every day on a set of Friends.
Oh. Well, bless your heart. I'm just going to go set this somewhere else.
Well, what did I tell you?
They are exactly like you described them.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
I better go check on the ribs. You two have fun, you hear?
Ribs?
So I heard you guys moved back to California. Actually, is that true?
Oh, we did. But when we got there, squatters were in our homes, and by state law, we can't evict them for months. So we moved back.
That's horrible.
We had no real right to the house anyways, it being on the traditional and unceded homelands of the Tongva, Chumash, and Kitch peoples.
Huh. Well, we are about to eat, so we're going to say a few words.
Mm, a land use acknowledgement.
Grace.
I don't get it.
Pray.
Oh, like the emoji!
Exactly.
Oh.
Just like that.
All right, everybody.
Why don't you guys come on over? Let's take care. Take our hats off. Let's bow our heads now.
Lord God, Heavenly Father.
Or Mother.
We just pray. Bless this meat we are about to eat in the name of Jesus.
Who was a person of color.
Everybody said.
Namaste.
Namaste. All
right, let's get you guys some food, huh?
Remember to take a napkin.
You know, this line might be a little bit too long, but I'll get you something straight off the grill. Oh, yes.
Hey, partner, what are we working with here?
Well, we got sausages, brisket, ribs, your choice.
Do you guys have any vegan options?
Oh, that's beyond impossible.
Great, we'll take either one of those.
What he means is, it's beyond impossible to find a vegan option at a Texas cookout.
Too bad.
Oh, I guess we'll just have a bun with some ketchup on it.
I can get that.
Great. It's gluten-free, right?
Sure.
Awesome. I'm gonna need you to eat all of this. I can still hear him crying sometimes in the middle of the night. I feel bad for him. But, you know, it's nice to have him. It's nice to have somebody new in the neighborhood, you know.
Excuse me, Samantha, have you seen my husband? He disappeared a little while ago and I'm starting to get worried.
Oh, well why, sweetie? You think this is one of those Get Out movie situations?
Of course not. Is it?
You know, I think I saw the fellas going around that side of the house. I'm sure Clay's just giving him a hard time.
Okay,
thanks. Who's y'all's favorite Batman?
This is really good. This one came from...
What have you done?
Maybe it's not what it looks like.
You're eating me.
It was an accident. It means nothing to me. I just slipped and the meat fell into my mouth. It was crazy.
I don't even know you anymore.
Baby! Don't go. Not yet.
You gonna run after?
In a minute. I just haven't had real food in so long.
Oh, man. That's all right. Now you're home.
It's so good.
Just keep on going.
It's so good. So good.
So, you're not going to talk to me for the rest of the ride home?
Not when there's still barbecue sauce on your face.
You know what? You're right. I was wrong. In fact, I don't even deserve to be in the car with you right now. I'm just gonna get out right here and walk the whole rest of the way home.
Oh, you mean right here by this Whataburger?
What? I didn't even see that Whataburger over there. Seriously, let me out.
Mmm, that's good barbecue.
That was actually, yeah. I had some thoughts about the barbecue, but I'll save that for another time.
Not good. So where did you order the barbecue from?
I think Dan got it from, I don't remember what the place is called.
Two different places.
But we did get the Texas, like it was supposed to be a Texas barbecue, and we got the brisket and had sauce on it. And I was like, wipe the sauce off, wipe it off, wipe it down.
Texans are going to be mad.
Although that is kind of a proto-hipster, like new, the new wave of pit masters that are strictly no sauce. And there's actually only one restaurant in all of Texas that does not serve sauce.
But is it sauce on the side? Like you dip the brisket into the sauce?
Or
any places have it on top?
I'm a purist myself. I just do salt and pepper and sometimes Lowry's.
We also did a video called Christianity Light. Let's check that out right now.
Hey, you there. You with the Bible.
Me?
Yeah, you. Are you tired of all that God stuff? Do you want Christianity to be easier, more exciting, and less demanding on your free time?
Boy, do I.
Then why don't you throw out that old lame Christianity classic and try the very new Christianity Light.
Whoa! Wow! This is totes bussin', yo!
Christianity Light uses all the same terms as Christianity Classic, but without all that unwanted salvation from your sins and wrath of God stuff. Now you can be a Christian without everyone thinking you're a total square.
You know, I used to think you were a total square. Turns out you're not like one of those Christians who follows the Bible, bro. You're pretty cool.
All up in the club!
Hey! I'm drinking alcohol.
Alcohol!
I'm saying swear words.
All right! Whee! Pro choice!
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey! What's up, bro?
Where are the girls at?
You're like, where are the...
Alcohol!
Alcohol!
Whee! And best of all, with Christianity Light, you don't even have to go to church.
Now I can have Christianity and my sin too. Thanks, Christianity Light. I'm watching Game of Thrones, and I ain't watching it on VidAngel.
Christianity Light has been endorsed by Joel Osteen, Rob Bell, Jen Hatmaker, Rachel Hollis, Oprah Winfrey, Richard Rohr, and Satan. It's the only version of Christianity with none of the guilt and judgment, but with the same great spiritual feelings.
Side effects may include a sharp increase in sin, a hole in your heart you can't seem to fill, demon worship, earth worship, self worship, diarrhea, trust in the Enneagram, drug use, supporting the murder of babies, deconstructing your faith, deconversion, posting the black square on IG, eventual atheism, agnosticism, anxiety, nihilism, judgment, Buddhism, eternal suffering, severe injury, and second death. Christianity Light is not responsible for those who suffer everlasting damnation. Check with your pastor to see if Christianity Light is right for you.
Now you are prepped for our hate mail, because all the hate mail this week is comments on Christianity Light. So here's, we had a pinned comment where we said, what sins are you most excited about committing under Christianity Light? And
Jesse D. Phillips said, using the phrase, totes bussin'. Well, that's a sin. And Daryl Lee responded to Jesse D. Phillips and said, pump the brakes. Even Christianity Light has its limits there, buddy.
Oh, now this isn't actually hate mail. This is just funny comments. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Robert Coggan said, slouching.
Nope. Oh, crap.
I just have a short torso.
Wyatt said clubbing baby seals, and Vernon said listening to Nickelback.
And Samuel Carter said ripping the tags off mattresses that are illegal to remove, or office chairs. I was so afraid of that.
Mm. And drinking Pepsi.
Mm. Ayati Ekstui.
All right, here's some hate mail. This is a comment on our Twitter Chaz video where we have Twitter employees form their own autonomous zone within the Twitter offices. James Stewart says, women can't be funny. Comedy 101.
Of course. This is the first lesson you learn at comedy school.
Julia Savick said, the script is all right, but the acting energy is maybe 35%. It's so boring.
From Blarnix, lowercase, you're not as funny as the Onion, and you never will be, no period.
I think the performances were great, and I think the highlight for me was Dan.
Of course.
When he says, of course. Someone says spaz, and he says, Lizzo says you can't say that anymore. And then he hides behind the thing. And also watching Brandon's vein actually gets another, an Oscar for that performance.
I have.
Your vein was popping out of your neck.
I have prominent veins. I'm aware of this. No. Yes.
I think my favorite part is Claire.
Claire. Watching this makes me miss Claire and Travis, who's still out of the office.
And I remember Adam being very fixated on the bean can, so I was glad his bean performance finally got shown.
Right. Mm-hmm. There were actually a lot of bean references in the podcast, referencing Adam and beans, but no one really knew what it meant because that sketch had never been aired.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even mention it. We filmed this sketch.
Oh, months ago.
Months and months ago because the Elon deal was going through. And then the Elon deal got canceled the day we were going to release it. Mm-hmm. And so we just said, it's dead. And literally, 2 days ago, I was like, I finally killed it. And I was like, let's get rid of this. This is never going to come out. And then the next day, it was like Elon finalizing Twitter deal. I'm like, put it out. So that was awesome.
The Texas video was actually supposed to come out and 30 minutes before it was about to go live. We were like, this is going up instead.
So now we're going to go into our subscriber-only portion. We have more comments from the Christianity Light video. Oh. We have a classic article of the week.
Well there.
We have subscriber headlines of the week. And we're going to ask Emma the second set of 10 questions.
Well then. You'll want to see that. Subscribe now if you haven't already.
Coming up next, for Babylon Bee subscribers.
we did go to a restaurant recently, and under the food items, they had descriptions of the items, and they were actually pretty funny. And one of them was like lamb offal soup, and it says tastes better than it sounds, something like that.
Oh, those funny,
or like
those funny,
lamb,
yeah.
Or like lamb innards or lamb intestine, and it says just don't tell the kids what it is.
This has been another edition of the Bee Weekly from the dedicated team of certified fake news journalists you can trust here at the Babylon Bee, reminding you that fake news of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.